Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Good morning, welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Monday the 29th of April, I'm Ian McIntosh, and on today's show... Arsenal hang on to beat North London rival Spurs.
And from that moment on, you knew what was coming. It turned into an unnecessarily interesting game.
But City are victorious too.
City put Haaland on, the game started to change. That killed the game, really. City were much better after that. Forest deflated.
And who will Barcelona meet in the Women's Champions League final?
Breaks for the Lyon forwards. Bechou across. De Mornay!
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Ian McIntosh.
It's been another big weekend for European football, and that necessitates another big European roundup. Hit the music, Zim. What a week Everton have had. On Wednesday night, they dropped a piano on Liverpool's title hopes, and on Saturday evening, they secured the opportunity to do it again next year. Their scrappy 1-0 win over Brentford banishes any fears of relegation. Liverpool, meanwhile, failed to beat West Ham. They looked destined to finish third, and Mo Salah had a massive tantrum. Toys were flung from prams at Villa Park 2 when Chelsea got well and truly Coventried, fighting back from 2-0 down to 2-2, only to see their last gasp winning goal ruled out for a foul in the build-up. Maurizio Pochettino was unamused.
What I can say now only put myself in a big problem if I say something.
Sheffield United are gone. They were smashed 5-1 by Newcastle. Luton may be joining them. They were beaten 2-1 by Wolves. And Burnley held Manchester United to a 1-1 draw at Old Trafford, after which manager Erik ten Hag described his team as one of the most entertaining in the Premier League. I mean, in a way, he's absolutely right. We'll discuss Sunday's games in a moment, but while the Premier League title race is lighting up, the lamps are going out all over Europe, and we shall not see them lit again until, well, next August, I guess. Real Madrid's 1-0 win away at Real Sociedad on Friday means that they need just 4 more points from 5 games to seal La Liga. Girona is second, they beat Las Palmas 2-0 on Saturday, but Barcelona will go back above them if they beat Valencia tonight. Bayer Leverkusen have long since wrapped up the Bundesliga, but they're still trying to go the length of the season without being beaten. And they survived another scare at the weekend.
Inbound Wirtz for Leverkusen, and the ball breaks! I don't believe it! It justifies all logic, all belief, all we know about football. This team just do not know when they're beaten.
2-0 down at home to Stuttgart, they needed a 96th minute equaliser from Robert Andrich to spare their blushes. That's the second week in a row they've done that. Now, that result eased the pressure on Bayern Munich, because Stuttgart were pushing them for second place. Thomas Tuchel's side beat Eintracht Frankfurt 2-1, there were two more goals for Harry Kane, that's 42 for the season, and barring mathematical miracles, Bayern need only 4 points from 3 games to seal second. Inter won Serie A last week and kicked off an evening of civic celebration with a nice 2-0 win over 10-man Torino. Juventus and AC Milan neutralised each other on Saturday in a goalless draw, but Roma,
who you may recall struggling under Jose Mourinho earlier this season, have bounded up the table since his demise. They drew 2-2 away at Napoli last night and currently occupy Italy's fifth Champions League spot. Atalanta, however, have a game in hand and are just 2 points behind after their 2-0 victory over Empoli. And it's all over in France too. It would have been all over on Saturday had PSG beaten relegation-haunted Le Havre, as literally everybody expected them to, but somehow they screwed it up. 3-1 down midway through the first half, they actually needed a Gonçalo Ramos injury time goal just to salvage a single point. But not to worry, second place Monaco lost 3-2 to Lyon on Sunday night, and so, for the 11th time in 13 seasons, the title goes to those plucky upstarts from the City of Love. The North London derby rarely disappoints, and this one was an absolute roller coaster. Arsenal stormed into a 3-0 lead. They looked home and hosed, and then, well, probably because they're Arsenal and the universe expects such things, they allowed Spurs to pull 2 goals back, and thus their fans were plunged into 9 of the most terrifying minutes of live sport they'll ever see. But they held on. Former Arsenal winger turned pundit Adrian Clarke was on the Totally Football Show last night. Here's what he had to say.
It was a strange game because Arsenal were 3-0 up at half time, and it was a mediocre performance, really, by Arsenal standards. I think so, yeah. Like, they started off the game okay, but they didn't really handle Tottenham's press particularly well. Great counter attacking goal from Bukayo Saka. Two lovely set pieces, but in general play, I think they allowed Tottenham to control the match. And that wouldn't have been part of the game plan. I think what they needed to do was get hold of the ball and dictate. And that's what they did at the start of the second half. And at that point, for me, Tottenham were broken.
Right.
They'd stopped pressing. They'd given up. I think the fans were about 5 minutes away from exiting the ground. And
instead,
then David Raya
welcome back that David Raya.
Yeah, he makes that big mistake. And from that moment on, you knew what was coming.
And
it turned into an unnecessarily interesting game.
Charlie Eccleshare was at the game. Charlie, should Spurs feel hard done by?
It's a strange one because they weren't that bad in the first half, in which they went 3-0 down. But they weren't that good in the second half in almost rescuing it. Like, in many ways, you could say they were better actually in the first half. They created more. I thought they were pretty good in parts. So, yeah, I think they'll feel, a draw probably would have been a fair result. But I think when you do keep giving away set-piece goals, when you keep giving away goals on the counter, there's less sympathy. You know, if it was a one-off, maybe you could write that off, but it isn't. You know, set-piece has been an issue for much of the season.
Spurs have got 3 massive games in their last 5 fixtures. They've got Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City all still to come. Does a fight back like this indicate that they're ready for the challenge?
It can certainly take some heart from the second half. And, you looked at someone like Christian Romero, the way the fact that he's in that position to score the first goal is pretty crazy, but he really led the team as a proper, he's the vice-captain, but it felt like a captain's performance, performance of a World Cup winner. So I think they can channel some of that, some of his energy. That was something Postecoglou said. He wishes, some of the other players had a bit more Romero in them. So, the fact that they don't give up, they're going to keep going. They did that again, can give them some encouragement, but they'll also know they can't start like they did defensively. They can't give away those goals. But, they scored 2 against Arsenal at home, 2 against Arsenal away, 3 against City away, 2 against Liverpool at home. So they know they can score against anyone. They just know they've also got to tighten up defensively as they go into the daunting final games of this season.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic.
Now there's every chance Arsenal fans will find themselves in the odd position of supporting Spurs on Tuesday, May 14th, because they need City to drop points somewhere in this run-in. They didn't drop them at the City Ground yesterday. Many Arsenal fans had tuned in hoping for a double celebration, had about 69 minutes of hope before it was finally dashed out by Erling Haaland. Forest had their chances, particularly in the first half, Chris Wood, but Haaland's goal doubled a lead that was started with another goal from Josko Gvardiol. City eventually won 2-0, and Sam Lee was there. Sam, this City side hasn't been beaten since December the 6th, and This wasn't their finest performance of all time, but they were comfortable winners in the end, weren't they?
After watching Arsenal get past Spurs earlier, with all the ups and downs of that game, City would have known as well as ever that they just had to win here. Otherwise, it would have been out of their hands again. They'd have been relying on Arsenal to slip up, having obviously got past a massive hurdle themselves earlier on. So they simply had to win. It's an absolutely massive victory, not just because of that fact, but because City were really ropey, probably for about 15 minutes before half-time. And 15 minutes after, in that space of time, Forrest had a lot of chances. Chris Wood probably had the best of them when he miscued with an open goal, pretty much. It really looked like City were hanging on at that point. Forrest had a couple more forays into the box at the start of the second half, and it felt like a matter of time before Forrest would equalise. But then, of course, City put Haaland on. The game starts to change. They have a bit more space to break into. In midfield, they started to get a bit more possession. A couple of times, De Bruyne maybe could have played Haaland in behind, but he thought, we actually need to keep the ball here, so he kept it. But when the pass was onto Haaland, he was always going to make it. Somehow, De Bruyne, despite missing half the season with a hamstring injury, he's got more assists than anybody else in the Premier League, which is incredible in itself. But the fact that he put Haaland through to make it 2-0, that killed the game, really. City were much better after that. Forest deflated. And even though at the final whistle, it was obvious City were going to win the game, it really didn't feel like that for a long period of time. Given Arsenal's victory earlier on and the way that they did it, the way that they got over the line, City simply had to do exactly the same thing here. And despite a few scares, they did it. It was a huge win.
All of that means Arsenal have 80 points with 3 games left to play and a goal difference of plus 57. Manchester City have 79 points with 4 games left to play and a goal difference of plus 50. And Liverpool, I mean, technically, they can still do it. They have 75 points, 3 games left, a goal difference of plus 41, but yeah, never going to happen. We now know the finalists of this year's Women's Champions League, and it's not Chelsea. Emma Hayes' side were beaten 2-0 by Barcelona at Stamford Bridge on Saturday, and she was absolutely livid about it.
Do you feel robbed tonight?
Yeah, of course. And I think that that is probably the worst decision in UEFA Women's Champions League history.
The Catalans will be joined by Lyon, who vanquished Paris Saint-Germain in a real thriller on Sunday. Here's Jessie Parker-Humphreys.
Barcelona will be facing Lyon in Bilbao at the end of May after a pretty controversial weekend in the Women's Champions League semi-finals. Barcelona obviously trying to come back from that one-goal deficit after Chelsea became the first team to beat them at home in 5 years. They did that. They won 2-0, but the game was not without controversy. Khadija Buchanan getting a second yellow card and being sent off twitched the game a lot. Emma Hayes, as you heard, calling it the worst decision in Champions League history. And, you know, it did change the game a lot. I think Chelsea clearly struggled against a very good team when they were having to play with 10 players. Barcelona eventually got the second goal they needed thanks to a penalty that was also pretty soft, although you can understand why it was given at the time. On the other side of the draw, PSG had already managed to fumble a 2-goal lead. They were 2-0 up against Lyon in the 80th minute in their away leg. Lyon actually came back to win that game 3-2, and at Parc des Princes in Paris, Lyon also won there 2-1. So Lyon getting through convincingly to the final in a game, though, that wasn't without showing that PSG knew what they could do to cause Lyon problems. It will be a fascinating matchup between Lyon and Barcelona. That was the 2022 final in Turin in a game which caused a lot of surprise when Lyon went and won it pretty convincingly after scoring 3 goals in the first half. It's a big moment for both Jonathan Giraldez, the Barcelona manager, and Sonia Bonpastor, the Lyon manager. Giraldez is confirmed to be heading to the Washington Spirit for the start of next season. Bonpastor heavily linked to that Chelsea job. I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether those links become clearer over the next couple of days. Now Chelsea are out of the Champions League. But yeah, a fascinating matchup between two real titans of Europe that will be taking place in Bilbao at the end of May.
And for more on that, check out our women's football podcast, Full Time Europe. Sophie Penny and the team recorded live from Stamford Bridge over the weekend, and it's a fantastic listen. And that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. If you need something else to listen to, that oven-fresh episode of Totally Football Show we spoke about earlier is out there. Adrian Clark, Charlie Eccleshare and JJ Bull are with James Richardson. If you need something to read, can I recommend Adam Crafton's account of his meeting with Arne Slot? That is on The Athletic. If you enjoyed this show, lovingly crafted for your delectation late on a Sunday night, why not leave us a review? Maybe a nice one, like the one from Easy H. Sherman, who said that this podcast made for a great start to the day. That was lovely. Thank you. Just don't leave a nasty one. Not like Lenny 8-digit number, who called us weird for discussing women's football. Those crazy incels. He won't have enjoyed the last 3 minutes. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Michael Zimmerman. Michael Bailey will be with you tomorrow. And in the meantime, have an absolutely splendid Monday.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.